Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Tuesday, June 18, 2024. Thank you for downloading. Marty Conway, our special guest today. Our Georgetown University sports law and marketing and business professor. Oh, he's going to have some thoughts on Rory. He is so not a Rory guy. And maybe an update on this pending LIV PGA Tour merger, as well as the Olympics coming up. Is it still a thing, the Olympics, like it once was? And a whole lot more. But first, let's get to some stuff. College World Series is going on right now. Also, tonight is NBA Finals game number 5, has yet to tip off, and therefore, as we like to say in the trades, the final results were not available at the time of this podcast's publishing, so please check your local scores for details. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Also, hockey is off tonight. They're on tomorrow. The Oilers girl with the tatas is now starting to lean into her viral fame. It ain't going to last long, sweetheart, but if you're doing so, good for you. Her name is Kate, and she's shocked that people actually don't like her. Some people, that is.
Oilers girl. Actually, my name's Kate, but here we are. So I've thought long and hard about what I wanted to say to everybody. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm at one of my favorite places right now. Come here to do some thinking, we'll call it. But I just wanted to say, you could be the most perfect, godly fucking person in the world. You could save kittens from a river if they were drowning. Someone's still gonna hate you. So you know what? At the end of the day, I got drunk and whipped my tits out at an Oilers game and they went viral. Fuck you if you don't like it. Woo! Go Oilers!
I think she's great. I'm like, yeah, girl, you go now. But let me go ahead and tell you about the College World Series, my stance on that. It's great. I'm glad those who love baseball and especially college baseball love it. I understand you want me to talk about it, but I'm not. Because I don't. It doesn't hit any of my taste buds as a sporting product. It just doesn't. I'm not that into baseball. I don't have any real affinity to the power baseball schools, mostly in the South, that are in this thing every single year. I don't care for the aluminum bats, even though they now have composite bats that I guess don't plink but perform like aluminum. It doesn't matter to me. If you love it, watch it. That's great. I catch a little bit of the stuff that goes viral, like the two Texas A&M jackasses getting thrown out of the game because they were heckling the Florida coaches, including invoking a bat boy who died. I mean, what the fuck are you doing? So I catch glimpses of it, but I am not going to talk about it. I can't talk about it. I don't know anything. You don't want me to talk about it because I'm not into it. So there's that. Also, somebody actually asked me on the morning show, are you guys going to get to the Caitlin Clark foul over the weekend by Once again, Angel Reese and the Chicago Sky. I'm out. Here's my quick net on that. At least it was in the flow of play on a layup attempt. Of course, Angel Reese was beaten badly on the play. No way did she think she was going to catch ball. She took a swipe anyway, caught a big chunk of Caitlin Clark's head, knocked her out of the air, and none of her teammates came to help her up because I guess that's not a thing in the WNBA. You would think by now, every time she gets knocked down, there'd be a fucking fight with nail and hair flying all over the place. That's sexist. No, I'm just saying. There isn't. To me, the WNBA showed its whole ass already. I get it. It is a league that is hemorrhaging money, that is full of bitter, resentful women, many of whom date each other, which is a wild concept if you think about it. I believe one of the players on the Fever is dating the woman DeJounte Carrington, who fired at Caitlin Clark for not expressing enough remorse about her white privilege. Imagine the NBA if it was 60% gay men. Nothing wrong with being gay. Gotta say it. And they were dating each other. It's already the NBA, a league of full of drama and soap opera lines. Can you imagine if it was 60% gay men and you had star players? And I don't want to name names because then people are going to go, I can't believe you named him as a guy who might be dating another guy. Men are homophobic deep down. You know that. Most men are. They don't want to admit it, but they are to a certain degree, a little bit at least. I won't mention names, but just imagine if two star players were dating each other or sleeping with each other, boyfriend, and then this kind of stuff happened. It'd be bonkers. But that's the WNBA right there. A lot of the players are dating and sleeping with the other players around the league, and it's a beautiful thing. Follow your heart wherever it takes you. Let love rule the day, but it gets complicated and messy when one of your teammates, who happens to be straight and white and is envied by at least half the league, starts getting knocked down left and right. Are you going to defend her or not? Especially when your girlfriend is on the other team. Gets dicey. So I'm out. I know I spent 4 minutes talking about it right there, maybe more, but then there's nothing left to say. It's a league that's hemorrhaging money. It'll continue to hemorrhage money. It is another product that does not, I have no taste for it whatsoever. There's a superior product called NBA basketball with men who can dunk and fly above the rim that is a better product. That's what I consume. It's almost like the WNBA is almost meat, or it's the impossible burger. Is it getting better and better and closer to real meat? Yeah. But why do I need it? There's another product just like it. All right, with that said, one last ad about the U.S. Open. I talk sometimes about Easter eggs that happen with sports stories. I talk about Easter eggs. I talk about things that are a buffalo, like a big sports story that I compare to a buffalo that has been slain by the tribe that will feed every mouth in the tribe for weeks to come. A big one, a buffalo. Easter eggs are different. Easter eggs come from a term used by video game developers that would put little weird side, not quite glitches, but little, they would program in little things that didn't matter to the game itself. The first Easter egg I can remember, and those of you who are listening who are my age, around 56 or so, and played the incredibly crappy Atari 2600, where it had computing power so weak that to do a basketball game, it had to be one-on-one only, and the ball had to be square because they didn't have the graphics processing to make a round ball. But that game, that video game console, the Atari 2600, had a game called Adventure. And you supposedly went around as a dragon that looked like a duck. Or no, you were a knight fighting the dragons who looked like big ducks with pot bellies. And then if you went into a certain room at a certain time after activating something else, it unlocked a secret room that had a tiny dot, a pixel in it, that you could grab, and then you took control of one of the dragons or something like that. I don't remember, but it was an Easter egg. They're like, there's an Easter egg in this game. Go find it. Okay. We do it. Oh, yeah, I locked it. Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. Easter eggs in sports are things that anyone can kind of find interesting. You don't have to be a fan of the sport per se, and kind of resonate across the board. If you didn't see the Johnson Wagner segment on the Golf Channel live from after Bryson won the Open, please go see it. Please go check it out. It is next level television brilliance with a heavy splash of just incredibly good luck and timing. So Wagner has become kind of a go-to guy for them on the Golf Channel, a former tour pro who's now having a comfortable time eating whatever he wants. So he's got a paunch. He's got this impossibly thick black mustache that he swears he does not dye. And he goes out on the course with a wireless mic, portable mic, and will oftentimes try to explain things that happened during the round on the Golf Channel, where a ball might have gone into a hazard or how a shot was executed. And he had this, he had the chipping yips. He's gotten the chipping yips after his playing days were over, and they're bad. And he was on the Golf Channel trying to show them, okay, well, I got some chipping yips going on, so just be patient with me. And he hit some god-awful chips, right? Very embarrassing for a former tour pro. So he decides to go in the bunker where Bryson hit this amazing shot and try to replicate it. And first shot he hits, of course, he blades it over the green. Smiley Kaufman said, you know what? If I were to try to hit that shot, it'd be on the roof of the clubhouse. To which the Pinehurst Resort's official Twitter page said, or Twitter account said, that's why we find balls on the roof every day. So Wagner goes in there, notable chip yipper, short game is in shambles, tries to hit the shot, blades it over the green. It, pretty much pitch darkness except for a few lights are on. He turns around to talk to the camera like, well, that was my attempt. I guess it didn't work. And then out of the gloaming comes the champion holding the trophy and says to Wagner with nothing more than just a bit of encouragement, try it again. I want to see you do it. I know you can do it. Try it again. And lo and behold, Johnson Wagner hits the most perfect, buttery, well-executed shot that rolls up to a foot on live TV with barely enough light to see it, and then high fives, bro hugs the champion, who then lets him pose with the U.S. Open trophy. Chef's kiss. Both for Wagner and the Golf Channel, and they're going to lean into using him this way. They've got a real hit on their hands. But also, kudos to Bryson. And one of the things people are wondering is how sincere is Bryson's sort of renaissance, his awakening to the fact that you don't have to be a douchebag and a dick, and you can actually appeal to fans and be a force for positivity and actually grow in the game. Is it genuine or is this all just fake shine? I don't know. Time will tell. But right now, this is the great kind of stuff that will grow the game, because this is what the kids, hate saying that because I'm old, the kids are doing. They're watching golf on YouTube. And this is a YouTube-type piece of content that DeChambeau, whose YouTube channel is going to exceed the PGA Tours by the end of the year in terms of subscribers, over 1.5 million, got the most amazing piece of content just out of the blue. Wagner said he wasn't even sure they were going to have time for his segment because they ran long talking to DeChambeau on the desk. But lo and behold, it worked out just perfectly. Very cool Easter egg. And yeah, we'll see if this is actually real DeChambeau or just something to try to shine up his karma and to reinvent his brand. And then there's Rory, who issued a statement, or his PR team issued a statement after he withdrew from the Travelers this week, which is an elevated event. So 70 players, no cut, lots of money. He's supposed to be there. He can only miss two a year. This is his last one he can miss. He needs time off because, boo-hoo, I missed two putts. Can't play golf. I'm very sad. Rory's media team, you know, put out a statement, and there's some people that think he should have stuck around and faced the music and answered questions. My feeling is, well, what's the answer? Rory, what happened out there? Well, I missed two putts and I got fucked on number five. That's about it. Okay, anything else? Nope. That pretty much covers it. Four shots right there. I would have won going away. But thank you very much. Anything further? No? Good. Bye. That would have been it for the most part. Rory does not owe it to anybody to sit there and let the media try to deep dive into the psychology of, how do you feel now? Are you still validated as one of the world's best? How much scar tissue is going to be left after this one? No. He doesn't owe it to him. And the media reporting things, and I don't know which outlet said this. I think AP even reported it, that he, quote, spun his tires. Bullshit. There's no spinning of any tires. Maybe the tiniest of slip on some gravel in the parking lot, but that was it. And it gets repeated, and people run with it. Oh, did you hear Rory peeled out after he missed those putts? I mean, come on now. The fact that Rory was 496 for 496 is amazing on putts under 3 feet. And then at the worst possible time, he missed one. I went to the putting green today on my way to the airport, and I put down a putt, and I put down my putter, and I kind of go, okay, that's 34 inches there minus 2 feet, 6 inches. Gee, this is right here. How do you miss this? The answer is it was the U.S. Open, not just a stupid putt on a putting green that was running at least several feet less fast and also didn't count for jack shit. Quick break. If you subscribe to the Zabecast as a premium member, then you can skip these crass commercial messages and go right to the next segment, which will be Marty Conway, Georgetown University sports professor, law, business, marketing, and more. You're listening to the Zabecast. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Take control of your growing company's finances with Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card. With credit lines from $50,000 to $5 million, Bill Spend and Expense is here to help you thrive. Say goodbye to manual expense reports and juggling multiple cards, and say hello to saving time and eliminating wasteful spend. Try Bill Spend and Expense today at bill.com/promo500 and get $500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank. Member FDIC.
Everybody needs money. That's why they call it money.
All right, Marty. Good to talk to you, my friend. It's been several weeks building up. I got a lot to get to. But let's start with your boy, Rory McIlroy. Wait a minute. That's my boy. That's my guy. That's right. Who I've come to the point where I feel terrible for him, but I don't feel that bad for him. You have always been kind of anti-Rory, and I want to plumb why that is, given that he apparently, Marty, has been very instrumental in trying to get a deal done, which you're in favor of, between the LIV and the PGA Tour. Why the Rory hate all the time?
Well, I think he was mouthing, frankly, I think he was mouthpiecing for a lot of people, and that's not who he is, right? I think he was given a script, frankly, and he's not a great actor. He doesn't do Broadway. He doesn't do theater. He basically had a bunch of talking points that I think he was trying to string together. And quite honestly, it was just never that believable. And I think when you look at it, some of his peers, his international peers, Ryder Cup, you know, said, we're not buying that. Like, we're not buying the Saudis are blood money and some of the other things that were an early part of that. And so that's why I think, and I also think, look, it's ironic that he's had a lot to say, but then he misses a 4-foot putt and he doesn't have anything to say after the US Open.
Oh yeah. So, people are definitely killing him for that. I just wonder about Rory, Marty. Was he just hopelessly naive and gullible, or did he really buy into that and think, I am powerful enough to stave off this threat of a rival tour? Gullible or arrogant?
A little of both, I think. Look, I think also he began then to understand, hey, I'm not Tiger, nobody's Tiger, right? There's only one Tiger in that regard that maybe could be the bulwark against all of this coming around. And so I think he's learned. The other thing too is, the PGA Tour was putting him out there all the time. He must have played how many weeks going into the US Open? 4 straight weeks? I mean, he played Canada. He played the Signature Open and Memorial.
Right.
And he played a week or two before that. And I'm sure he was on – I don't know if he's playing this week at the Travelers.
No, he just withdrew today.
Okay, exactly. Because that the idea of playing a Signature event, even Jack said, I'm being asked to schedule a tournament that I wouldn't play in. To have to have a signature tournament the week before the Open, have the Open, and then have another signature tournament right after it. Let's be honest. The Travelers is not a signature tournament. Never has been. But the Travelers, the organizers of the Travelers, always did this great. They would send a plane. I don't know if you know this or not, but they would send a plane to the U.S. Open, a charter, bring players, their families, spouse, you know, dogs, cats, whatever it was. They spent enormous amounts of money to get those players there because they weren't willing to play after the US Open. Well, all of a sudden now it's a signature event and it's played the week after the US Open. So that's where I think they began to lose credibility for me.
Yeah. Well, the tour cooked up a schedule that was so ambitious to try to pay these guys and has angered everyone outside the top 70. It's, you know, how sustainable is it? I don't think it's very sustainable. That said, will we get an announcement this week on at least a more firm agreement of how these two tours are going to live together?
Yeah, look, I think the people that have backed this now, from Stephen Cohen to Arthur Blank and all the other names that were on that list.
Backing the PGA Tour is what you're talking about.
Backing the PGA Tour with the understanding that they were going in and there was going to be, frankly, more money, Saudi money.
Right. Our money is going to go swimming with their money. And then we're going to make lots of money. And now they're like, hey, TikTok, it's been a year. What are we doing?
Those guys have always been in the business of early investor, right? And they want to see their valuation grow exponentially within a short period of time. That's the business they've always been in. They talk about long-term, but they really need short-term. And so now I think that's where they're saying is, look, We've put up our equity, we've put up our capital with the expectation that it was going to be worth more 6 to 12 to 18 months later, and now it's time for that to materialize one way or the other. And there's not another alternative. It's Saudi money plus maybe some other sovereign wealth funds. I'm not sure where it'll actually be done, but that's ultimately what this deal is going to look like, and the tour cannot sustain another year of the kind of purses with so few players other than Scottie Scheffler, able to actually carry the flag and make it really interesting on a week-to-week basis. So when we started this conversation, you said sort of why was I where I was? I guess maybe I just saw through this pretty quickly and realized from some other experiences that I've had that ultimately you're going to work with the sovereign wealth funds, whether they be Saudi, Qatari, wherever they're from, UAE, because that's the nature of business today.
Yeah. Well, I think there's about four guys that matter that are kind of being held hostage on the LIV Tour right now, and that would be Bryson Brooks, Rahm, and maybe DJ, although he looks pretty much shot. Phil's old, but he can sell tickets off of Phil. So there's like four or five guys that really matter, and you want to get them back on your tour, at least so there is that sense of we have the best players in the world. I don't know why they can't come to an agreement where they farm off everything from September to Christmas to the LIV team stuff, Far East, go make a lot of money over there, and then give LIV a couple events that sit in the regular window of January through August on the PGA Tour and call it a day.
Yeah, look, I think also the PGA Tour has such a stranglehold on the major networks here that has to be a part of it as well, right? Because they're not going to rely upon the CW for very much longer. So whether that's NBC, CBS, or Fox, whoever gets involved, one way or the other, it's going to have to be a part of that, because you're going to have some of these international events probably during the regular PGA season. Maybe they're in the spring when the weather's better in the Middle East or wherever that is. But you're right. Ultimately, it has to come together with that sort of rotation. Or, wait for it, it could be like whisper, the LPGA, which has disappeared. The LPGA has disappeared.
Really?
So you got to be careful.
Yeah.
You got to be careful.
All right, let's talk private equity. What on earth is happening with these conferences that are considering now private equity investment into the conference and or corporate naming of the conference itself, like the Allstate Big 12? I'm a dummy. I don't understand this. What are they buying? How does it even work?
Well, they're buying similar to what they bought with the bowl games, right? Which is ultimately they're buying an opportunity. If you look at these conferences now, they're anything but regional, right? They're stretching over three quarters, or in some cases, the Big 18. They're no longer the Big 10. The Big 18 stretching from Rutgers to L.A.,
right?
So ultimately, if you look at guys like Brent Yormack, who's now the commissioner of the Big 12, he came from the Brooklyn Nets. He's got another lot of pro experience. The American Athletic Conference just hired Tim Pernetti a couple of months ago. Tim was a TV executive. He's worked at IMG Academy. That's the profile of the leader of a conference now, who can bring in television revenue, who can bring in sponsorship money, who can bring in licensing money, put those things together. And I say, why not? I mean, if we're going all this way with the way athletes and student athletes are going to be paid, let's just turn it into a corporate conference. I mean, if you look at, like I said, the Big Ten, those 18 teams in the Big Ten, if you're a national or international brand, why wouldn't you want to put your name onto that, the kind of exposure that it gets 10, 11 months a year?
I love how you say the 18 teams in the Big Ten. That sounds so funny. Yes, if you didn't follow sports, you'd chortle and say, what is he talking about? It's the Big Ten. No, it's the Big 18 now. Yeah, to me, the gross disfigurement of the conferences by geography and by size is by far worse than just selling your name to some corporate entity. As long as the corporate entity makes sense or at least has a rhyme to it, you know, the Allstate Big 12, fine. Someone suggested the SEC Waffle House Conference, and I'm like, perfect. It fits. I don't think Waffle House has enough money for that, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong about that. So this private equity money is going to invest in the conferences. They're going to find a way to get money to pay the players, to make sure the schools and their athletic departments don't go bankrupt along the way. But it seems, Marty, like a mouse on a wheel that's running faster and faster to try to keep up. Where does this find its equilibrium or its stride where it's sustainable?
That's a great question, because I'm not sure that it is, based on the connections that we make and the people that we talk to who are constantly looking for money. And when you ask them where the money is going, it's essentially going in one pocket and out the other,
right?
Because most of them function as a not-for-profit organization. And so that's the question that you have, is at some point, the configuration of these organizations almost has to turn into a for-profit, because in a for-profit, anything left over gets paid out to the stakeholders. In a nonprofit, it basically just gets plowed back in. There's no incentive to have profit at the end of the day. So from a company standpoint, the awareness and the exposure is great, but you have to think about the sustainability, because in 5 years, they're going to be looking for two or three times what you've invested. So I think that's the real question. And I think a conference like the ACC, unfortunately, is on the cusp of being picked apart unless they're able to do something and do it pretty quickly. And then I think what you're going to see is some conferences like the Big East that focus almost entirely on basketball, because that's going to be their ticket. And I think you're going to find some conferences where they're going to have to give up the football idea, because it's just not going to work financially ever if you're not in the top five, six, maybe seven conferences ultimately.
To the NBA, the finals about to tip off game five. The Barkley thing with his announced retirement from television, the now lingering still, it's not final yet, that Turner is out or maybe out. What do you think is going on with that situation? Does Turner survive somehow? Would it be even worth it for Turner to buy a fourth package that really relegates them to the kids' cardboard table at Thanksgiving?
Well, as I messaged to you, this would be the greatest punk of all time if Charles Barkley announces he's retiring and won't go to another network. And ultimately, that was some sort of catalyst for the NBA coming to their senses and saying, why are we tossing Turner overboard here? For what? Like, what are we tossing it overboard to whom? Now, I know there's people who say there's no chance of a fourth package. And the reason that is if you look at the inventory that the three packages are taking up, it soaks up virtually all the available national right. dates. For them to go to a fourth package, which I think they could, it would mean going to the teams and saying, hey, we're taking a night of the week out that was to your RSN, right? I don't know what night that is. Maybe it's Tuesday or whatever the night is where the RSNs sort of had the ability to have basketball to themselves. And that may be where they end up finding 25 games, 35 games a year, whatever it is. Look, if you're the NBA, you want to replicate what the NFL did. If there's a place on your network for football, in the case of the NFL, they found it. And I think that's why I'm not willing to say yet that this is the final package and that Warner Brothers Discovery is going to be left out altogether. Could it happen? Yes, but I think there's still a chance that there's probably some games that they could find for a package that keeps Warner Brothers. Because if you look at that show inside the NBA, it'll never be replicated again. So I don't care what NBC tries to do or anybody right. else. It's just never going to be replicated, and that's such a big part of what the NBA media packages have become all about.
Despite no heir apparent to LeBron, flat or even declining ratings, it looks like Adam Silver is going to negotiate a, what is it, 2X, 3X increase?
3X
increase in television yeah. rights. Live sports on television continues the most amazing bull run in my lifetime that we've ever seen, and there seems to be no sign of stopping. One more for you, and that is on the NFL and quarterbacks. Speaking of bull runs, man, oh, man, the price of quarterbacks also going straight mm-hmm. through the roof. At mm-hmm. what point will the league have to sort of say, you know what, we should probably have a separate accounting for a single position that's so important, it's threatening mm-hmm. to take up 40% or more of our team's available cap space to pay for the other 52?
Well, I think that's a question for the Players Association, for the PA, right? Because you see what's happening is the percentage of the cap. So it doesn't matter how good you are. It's when you become a free agent, right? Trevor Lawrence is not as good as Joe Burrow or some of the other people right. that he's going to be paid, but it's the timing question. But what you're seeing is it's come at the expense of other positions, right? It's coming at the expense of running back. It's coming at the expense of certain other positions that used to get paid a reasonable amount, and now they're not. So I think this is the old question that Major League Baseball dealt with their Players Association. It became quickly the haves and the have-nots within theirs, you know, starting pitchers and what they got. And they're going to have to find a balance where certain positions just can't be picked to the bone in order for that percentage of the cap to go to a quarterback. But at the end of the day, Zabe, that's what the NFL has become. It's a television show that features quarterbacks and maybe receivers, right? That's ultimately what this has become and what's the most marketable. So I think at the end of the day, for me, It's the players' association that get concerned when a percentage of your players are no longer getting paid at a scale that would even seem reasonable 5 years ago, let alone 5 years from now.
You're stealing my line, a TV show about quarterbacks. Don't steal that. I should have trademarked that, Marty. That's what it is. And you're right. Wide receivers, sort of. The wide receivers are like the girlfriends of the stars of the show, which are the quarterbacks. And the money for that keeps on going up and up as well. Last question. Is the Olympics still a thing? And I'll leave that intentionally vague on purpose.
It definitely is a thing. Look, if you see, look at the Simone Biles show coming back, right? It's been all about, can Simone Biles get back? That's something that NBC loves. That's the kind of story. It's got a female theme. It's got a comeback. You know, they love gymnastics. They love swimming, to a certain extent, track and field. So from that standpoint, it still becomes, resonates as an incredible TV show. You're going to have the backdrop of Paris this time around. 4 years from now, you come to Los Angeles, you're in the U.S., then you're going to Australia after that. So it's still sort of a world atlas and filled with stories that, you know, for 3 hours a night, forget what happens live during the course of the day, that television can turn it into a gripping three-hour drama that begins on a Monday and maybe ends on a Friday. It's just built right now. Television has sort of crafted it, carved on it to create something. And the IOC is saying more, 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 because NBC here, Universal, they pay more in rights fees than all of the other networks that broadcast the Olympics around the world combined.
Wow. Would you say women's gymnastics is the beating heart of the Summer Games?
The U.S. And let me be more careful about that. The U.S. gymnastics team is the beating heart of the Summer Olympics, because if they're doing well, it's off the charts. If they're not doing well, and there's no Olga Korbut or Nadia Comaneci or somebody else that's, you know, 68 pounds, it's hard for them to build those kind of stories. There will be another Katie Ledecky chapter. There's a couple of great young swimmers out there as well. And then after that, you have to find Sha'Carri Richardson and maybe some other stories that NBC has been following probably for 12 months to try to put this anthology package together, in late July.
Yeah. The Olympics were great growing up for us because you could really hate the Russians and the East Germans, you know. Now it's like you almost need ISIS to create an Olympic team to get the same juices flowing. And that's not happening anytime soon.
Yeah, and there are 12 Russian athletes that are competing that are going to be neutral. They're not going to have a flag or symbol. So
that is dumbest thing ever.
It's like, Zabe, they're taking away our joy, right? They're taking away our joy.
Come on, give us something to root against, for God's sakes, and call them cheaters.
Exactly.
And now, and you know, now they test everyone too well that they'll catch the cheaters. So you can't even say, they're cheating. I know they're cheating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So the gymnastics, you know, Simone Biles being as incredible as she is, and to be a totally telegenic American African-American woman with the comeback angle, having gotten the spinnies or whatever they called it, the dizzies.
The twisties.
You got the twisties last time and had to tap out. That is absolute catnip right there. And swimming is always good because it always produces the close finishes and, Rowdy Gaines going crazy. So there's that. Yep. Is the basketball going to be good, the men's basketball?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, look, the NBA, the funny thing is one of the most dominant teams in the Olympics has been the U.S. women's basketball team. They've won every gold medal since 1996 in Atlanta, 1996. But yet you would never hear about their stories, right? Donna doesn't fit the narrative, but they're one of the most dominant teams probably in the history of the Olympics. So it's
Are we favored to win the men's side? I honestly haven't even looked at that.
I think at this point, if you start to look at teams like Lithuania and Latvia, I think the U.S. will be favored, but that margin of favorability has shrunk dramatically, whether it's Argentina, Spain, or like I said, Lithuania or Latvia or France. Right now, France has a really strong team.
Right.
Wembanyama will be a feature. So it's now five or six teams that have caught up and close to the U.S.
You know,
we're a long way from the dream team, Steve.
We are a long way. However, if I'm reading this right, it's still a wide margin. The USA is minus 400. So, in other words, you're upside down on them. You got to bet 400 to win 100. And the next closest team is Canada at plus 900. So you get 9-1 on Canada, Serbia 10-1, France 10-1, Germany 1900-1. So, or 19-1. not very good odds right there.
Well, you wouldn't know it, but Canada has the most players from outside the United States in the NBA. Canada has the most.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know that unless you thought about it, but yeah.
They got guys like Jason Tatum and more. So,
yeah,
there you go. All right, anything else, Marty, that you've been talking about with your eager students there at Georgetown?
I'm really just about, women's sports right now, what's happening on, in the case of the WNBA, what is this really, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, what is this really about? Is this sustainable? I'm not sure it is. Ultimately, the stories themselves, this is not WWE, this is basketball. And so ultimately the game has to be something that people are interested in watching. So a little bit more of that, like I said, the rise of women's sports, both individually and team sports. So there's a lot more of that discussion. A lot more younger students are interested in that aspect of sports. So perhaps there's something sustainable there for people that are in their 20s that will follow women's sports much more closely than women who are 40 or 50 years old, because they, for whatever reason, they just never caught on to it.
Right. So, and then maybe next time you come on, we can talk about the Nathan's hot dog eating contest and the now Netflix Kobayashi versus Joey Chestnut one-off on Labor Day.
Like I said, I tweeted the other day, we've entered the part of the year where it's the silly season for sports. NBA, NFL camps are over. The NBA's ending. The NHL's ending. You have to look to Nathan's hot dogs to get your clicks.
This is a soft underbelly of an already crowded calendar that I guarantee leagues and teams and sports concepts are like, if we could just get into that month, it's gold, Jerry. There's nothing there. We just got to get in there. This is where slam ball has went and gone to die. It's where pickleball thinks it's going to have a future. It probably isn't. I'm not sure it works. In the summer, it's warm. People want to get out. They don't want to be watching sports. It's beautiful right now in Milwaukee is where I sit right now looking over Lake Michigan. And I don't want to be inside watching an NBA game, but I will. I want to be out walking by the lakefront. So that's the summer
for you. Well, watch this, Zabe. Watch the NFL and the PA maybe get together and decide to rearrange the schedule a little bit. And you won't have as many activities maybe in May or June. But just that, maybe camps open sooner and they start to reach into that. So watch for that.
Oh, boy.
If there's a few weeks available to the NFL,
they'll gobble it up.
Figure out a way to film. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Marty, as always, a pleasure, my friend. Be well, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Okay, Zabe. See you.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. This shit has hit the fan.
Let's finish with a couple other items. So apparently now my likes on X.com or Twitter are private. This is a move that Elon Musk and the team did there to default set likes to private. I always kind of wondered, are there people seeing my likes and going, oh my God, I can't believe he liked that guy or that person or this tweet. Then there's other people that might look at my likes and go, wait a minute, why did he like that tweet from that lunatic whose political views I know don't align or align, excuse me, with Zabe's? And the answer is, as it's always been, likes are bookmarks. It's just one less click. I've tried to do bookmarks, but it's just bookmark, then folder, then click out of it. And you're like, oh, that's three clicks instead of one. Just let me go boom, 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 like. Now, what I don't know is how can – I suppose the software does amplify tweets that get a lot of likes, even though the likes are not all visible, because that's how certain tweets show up more in certain people's feeds. If they get liked or retweeted or commented on, that's what the algorithm likes. But yeah, who knows? Then there's this. Kathy Hochul, governor of the state of New York, and the mayor in New York are set to, ready for this, ban wearing masks on public transportation. Nature is finally healing. Healing from the stupidity of all the things that didn't do jack shit during the pandemic. Now they're realizing, oh, fuck. people wearing masks on the subway and they can commit crime more easily, and our cameras can't tell who it is that's committing the crimes, and we can't arrest them and charge them and prosecute them. Not that New York even does that shit anymore. Classic. Katy Perry has got a new album coming out. I'm glad. I like Katy Perry, but it's a hard game, the pop music game. When you're young and you're hot, you're on top of the world like Katy Perry, you think it's going to last forever, but then interests change and shift, and you get older and you get a wrinkle here and you gain a few pounds there. People kind of start to go, oh yeah, Katy Perry, whatever happened to her? Woman's World is the name of it. Song is out July 11th, video July 12th. Pre-save, pre-order, get ready to pop off katyperry.com, and there's a picture of her that I kind of zoomed in on. It looked either heavily Photoshopped or artificial intelligence art. She looks hot, though, like she always has. Now, can she still make pop hits like Teenage Dream? We shall see. Then there is this. Sometimes stories are so good, you have to say, well, I don't even want to read the story because I think the summary and headline is enough for me. You ready? Neuralink employee scratched by monkeys, infected with herpes, and fired after she became pregnant, according to lawsuit. Wait, what? Neuralink employee was scratched by monkeys, infected with herpes, and fired after she became pregnant, according to lawsuit. There's a lot going on in there. I don't know how she became pregnant. I don't think it would be the monkey with herpes. Do monkeys have herpes? Can they give it to you by scratching them? I don't know. How many monkeys are at work in the Neuralink labs with Elon Musk? I don't know. But I hope justice is done. Or as the kids like to say, I'm either very happy for you or I'm sorry that happened, but I ain't going to read all that. And that'll do it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Subscribe by going to zabe.com/premium and finding out the deets. Either go month by month, cancel any time, or buy it for a year, the Zabecast Premium. And then you can get 12 months for the price of 11. Bargain right there. No Scott and Solly this week because of travel and work schedule. Scott is regularly employed again in radio. We're very happy for that. So we're off this week, both our podcasts, but we're going to have my man Charch on Friday, so stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, and we will see you next time. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you're putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.